Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here and to share fellowship with you all this morning. Accepting the fact that the whole of the scriptures are beneficial to us, I wonder whether you, like me, have got some really special verses or phrases that are especially helpful in your lives. I'd like to share three of mine with you this morning, all relating to our great God in heaven. The first one is the one that we find in James chapter 1, where James talks about the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. And then we get a great picture, don't we, of a great and a righteous God who is consistent and always constant. In effect, our rock. The second is linked to our reading from Psalm 46. Because David uses a term several times. It actually goes back to his ancestor Ruth. And David says, "Hide me under the shadow of your wings." And I think that's the most beautiful phrase, because it speaks about a shelter, a covert, somewhere where we can find safety and security. In effect, a refuge or a fortress. And there's the link to the reading that we had in Psalm 46. And the third one is taken straight from Psalm 46. And that's the theme of our exhortation this morning. Be still and know that I am God. And that's what I'd like us to think about for the next few minutes. If you've got Psalm 46 open with you, that phrase is there in verse 10 of that psalm. I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning. And there in verse 10 of Psalm 46, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge," or fortress, as we read a short while ago. And again, we should always remember that this is the basis of this psalm. It starts and it finishes. It's bookended with this principle. The Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our fortress. We've just read it there in the last verse. We find it in verse 7. And it's there right at the beginning of the psalm. God is our refuge. God is our fortress and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so it's clear there that our Father has made himself available to each one of us, for those of us who are in trouble. And that's the context of this psalm, where the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God." And there are two aspects there, aren't there? Be still. And secondly, know that I am God. So what does be still mean? What it doesn't mean is that we should do nothing. Being still is not a matter of idleness. Yeah, we saw that, didn't we, in the chapter that we read from Matthew's Gospel just a few days ago, the parable of the talents. And we know what was said to the one who went to hide his talent. "Occupy till I come," is the message of the Lord Jesus. Life is the time to serve the Lord. In all you do, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So what does this idea of be still really mean? The original word means to slacken or to enfeeble. And first of all, we get a sense there of the kind of attitude that we should have. But what we have here is a call to cut down the pace of life and to pause and to consider. The sense is to be free from commotion, from disturbance, from anxiety. That's the sense of the word in the original. And so here we have an exhortation, my dear brothers and sisters, to stop and to think who God is, and to have that quiet and total and absolute confidence in him. You come back to Psalm 37 that we read just a few days ago. Psalm 37. And just have a look at the start of verse 7, words of David. And he says there, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. That phrase, rest in the Lord, in another version says, be still before the Lord. And we have this sense of quietness. And hopefully that helps us to understand this idea of what still means. If you like, putting it into words that we can relate to in everyday sense. Our Father is saying to us, don't be alarmed. Don't panic. Don't worry. I am God, and everything is in my control. Be still. Trust in me. Calm yourself. Be patient. And rest on my word. That's the exhortation that we have from our reading this morning. But the fact is that we all have health issues from time to time, do we not? It's our human nature to feel stressed and anxious from time to time. You know, we look at the world around us. We think about our own country. We see the suffering that takes place, the atrocities that happen in the world in which we live. And we fear for the future. The exhortation that we have from our reading today is be still and know that I am God. And you may well be thinking, well, it's easy for you to stand there and to say these things. You know, you don't know the anxiety and the challenges and the problems that I am facing in my life. And that's absolutely true. And the true is there in reverse. But our Father knows, and our Master knows, the challenges that we have to face each and every day in our lives. And the exhortation is still powerful. Be still and know that I am God. At any time, we can talk to our Father in prayer. We can pick up his word. We can read his words. We can read the words of our Master. We can stop. We can ponder. We can meditate on God and his ways. And the fact is that if we are prepared to share our burdens, we have brothers and sisters who care for us, who love us, who will help and support us if they can. You know, the importance of speaking to our Father in prayer and a reliance on the Holy Scriptures was so evident in the life of the Lord Jesus. It's littered across the Gospels, isn't it? We see so often how the Son approached his Father, how he went back to the old Scriptures. You know, we've been reading Matthew's Gospel. It's there right through the Gospel. Just have a look at a couple of examples. First of all, in Matthew chapter 14 that we read a few days ago, we have these words starting in verse 22. And this is a pattern in the life of the Lord Jesus. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. And again, we see that, don't we? There are times when the Lord Jesus spent all night talking to his Father in prayer. On the night before, he chose the 12 apostles. He was there in prayer all night to his Father. And just move along a little bit further in Matthew's record to the chapter that we read on Friday, Matthew chapter 26. This, I think, is the most emotional prayer that we find in the scriptures, because it gives us a real sense of the feelings and the thoughts of our Master. Matthew chapter 26, and I want to go in at verse 36. The Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. How that tells us about how the Lord was feeling. He became sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." If there was any way, Father, for this cup to pass from me, but if it's your will, so be it. Amazing attitude of our Lord and Master. But it also gives us a very important lesson, doesn't it? That we are not going to be cocooned from the problems and difficulties of this life. But what we are assured about is God's help and the angelic care of the angels to get through, to face those difficult times. Hebrews chapter 5 gives us a sense and a summary of what the Lord Jesus Christ endured. And Graham mentioned it earlier as he introduced our meeting together in the prayer that he offered. Hebrews chapter 5 and at verse 7, talking about the Lord Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And it's that same man who says to you, and he says to me, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Indeed, the Lord Jesus is the Word made flesh. He said to Philip, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." He absolutely and fully understood the Old Testament scriptures. How often do we read, "It is written"? It is written. And how that helped him in the way that he lived his life. How it helped him in the difficulties, those who tried to trick him and to test him, to catch him out. It is written. And how he had that perception of God's plan. And so it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross and despised the shame. You know, we should never, ever underestimate the value of pondering, pausing, and thinking and meditating. You know, someone once wrote these words, "5 minutes quiet contemplation is better than all the medication in the world." And that may be somewhat of an overstatement, in certain circumstances, but it most certainly does not dilute the significance of quiet contemplation. Will you come back with me to Psalm 1? We read it right at the beginning of this new year, January the 1st. And it's the most beautiful psalm, and it pulls together these two things that we've just been talking about. And the psalmist says there in Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." And so the key exhortation for us from our reading today is to stop and think who God is and have that quiet and total confidence that everything, absolutely everything, is in his control. For sure, we can say with absolute certainty, he is our God, he is our Father. He is a God who is all-powerful. He is a God who is all-knowing and everywhere present by his Spirit. And there are some lovely words in Peter's letter. You recognize them when I read them. He says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." What a wonderful picture that we have there of a God who loves and cares you, for you and for me. And so we have this lovely exhortation, "Be still and know that I am God." And we go to the second aspect of that phrase, to know God. You know, it's surely inspiring for us all to remember that at some point, the whole of God's creation will know him. Because that's his clear purpose, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And these are wonderful principles that you know, that I know, by God's grace in calling each one of us. We have that wonderful and most beautiful grace that we know God's plan. We know that this is God's gift. We know that this earth will be filled with his glory. That's what the Lord has revealed to each one of us. And we know that the Lord wants us to be there in that most glorious place of perfection by his grace. And we know too that we must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We will only know God in the truest and fullest sense in that most glorious kingdom to come by his grace. But it's clear from that phrase that we have as our theme for our exhortation that we can get to know God now in our lives. Will you come with me to a couple of chapters written by the great prophet Jeremiah? First of all, Jeremiah chapter 9, where he quotes some words of the living God. Marvellous words. Jeremiah chapter 9 and at verse 23. And there we have these words. "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight." And then the prophet himself adds in the next chapter some further words in Jeremiah chapter 10 and at verse 6. And Jeremiah says, inasmuch as there is none like you, O Lord, you are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your rightful due. For among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. You know, there we see the awesome power and the glory of our God and our Father. And we see something of his character too. And we know that that character is developed for us through the pages of the scriptures. We all remember Exodus 34 and what it says there about the character of the God that we worship. A God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present by his Spirit. And so the Word can tell us so much about God, to try to get to know him. And all these characteristics that we see in the Father were evident in the Son, because the Son came to declare the characteristics of his Father. He came to do the will of his Father. The Father sent him. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. That oneness of purpose. And we've read in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says we can get to know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Come with me to John's Gospel in chapter 10. Because the Lord tells us very clearly here that he knew his Father. John chapter 10 and verse 14. Words of the Lord Jesus, he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And so our Master is so plain. I know the Father. I know the Father. He knows us, the sheep of his flock, by the wonderful grace of God. And so we can get to know the Father through the Son. You may remember those most wonderful words that Paul wrote to the Philippians. It's one of my special phrases in the New Testament. He talks about the Lord Jesus, that he counts the Lord Jesus as everything to him, that he might gain the Lord Jesus. And in the letter he wrote to the Philippians, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's how much the Lord Jesus meant to the Apostle Paul. And that brings us to where we are now as we meet together to think about the bread and the wine and the suffering and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus and the love of the Father and the love of the Son for each one of us. And we see in that wine, the life is in the blood. We see the cementing of God's promises, the new covenant in the wine that we will share together, which reminds us of this most beautiful fact, that the Lord Jesus Christ loved us so much that he was prepared to give his life. And later on in John's Gospel, you know, Jesus says to his Father, I know you always hear me. So not only did he know him, he absolutely and certainly was clear that God listened to him as he listens to each one of us. And then that most moving prayer in John chapter 17, where the Lord Jesus even prays for you and for me. But as part of that prayer, in verse 3, he says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Life eternal, to know God, and the Son, who the Father sent. And so we remember these things now in the emblems, the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the one who came to do the will of his Father. And so in conclusion, my dear brothers and sisters, let us then be still and know God. Let us watch and pray and have that quiet but total and absolute confidence that everything is in his hands. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present by his Spirit. And the final thoughts come from the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, where he quotes some marvellous words from Isaiah the prophet. And Paul writes this, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Be still and know that I am God."